Good evening, Duncan. Welcome to the Space Show.
Thank you, Andrew.
We're about to see, in a few days' time, one of the most exciting astronomical events probably of all time. What's going to happen?
Yes, a whole string of comets, separate cometary nuclei, are going to plummet into the atmosphere of Jupiter and blow up as they do so, because they're going to be moving extremely quickly. In fact, 60 kilometers per second they're going to hit Jupiter at, which is 216,000 kilometers an hour, if I calculate it correctly in my head. So it's something like 2,000 times the speed limit, and that obviously is a very high velocity, and they will be blowing up as they hit Jupiter. And this is a chance which we've never had before. We've never had the chance to see an impact actually occurring upon a planet by an asteroid or a comet at any time in the past, and so it certainly is something which many astronomers are grasping with both hands as a unique opportunity, which certainly during our lifetimes we wouldn't expect to turn up again.
Mm. Now, Jupiter has a very thin ring around it, much like Saturn's ring, except that from Earth it's pretty nigh invisible. And a writer on Time magazine has suggested that this comet's going to hit the planet so much and throw material up and sort of brighten the ring, so it may in fact become visible. Do you think that's going to happen?
I think that what has been published along those lines is a misinterpretation of some scientific work done by a guy called Horanyi at the University of Colorado. In fact, what he suggested is something rather different to this. Now, sure, the rings we see around all of the giant planets, not only Saturn is obvious, as you've said, Jupiter has a very tenuous dark ring, and equally well Uranus does, and Neptune seems to have a series of arcs in a ring. It isn't so much that that ring might get brighter as it might actually form a new ring, but not from the material which is actually hitting Jupiter, but rather other dust from this broken-up comet which may be trapped into orbit around Jupiter, and over a period of one or two decades that may accumulate so as to form a ring. And I guess that our children or our grandchildren, great-grandchildren may be looking at that in 50 or 100 years' time and saying, oh yes, we know that was formed in the aftermath of the impacts upon Jupiter in 1994. But it isn't the material actually hitting Jupiter, if you like, which enters into this calculation. It's the other dust and small lumps of material which have been spawned by that broken-up comet, but which may be trapped into orbits around Jupiter. And that's, the origin of this particular suggestion.
Mm. Now, even with a small telescope, you can see that there's a red spot, or it's called the Great Red Spot, sort of a cyclops-type eye on Jupiter, and it rotates with the planet. Now, it's been suggested that when the comet, or comets as they are now, hit the planet, they may form another one. Is that possible?
Well, yes. I mean, the Great Red Spot has been observed for over 300 years, and we still don't know what its origin is. And so, obviously, if a new Great Red Spot was formed, it would indicate to us that the way in which the one we're very familiar with was formed in the first place. That's a possibility, I guess. I'd also point out that quite apart from the Great Red Spot, there are many other spots on Jupiter of different colours, in particular a whole series of white ones. Now, I guess that if that is how the Great Red Spot was formed due to a single comet hitting, then this time we might form a whole series of Great Red Spots, because these impacts by these fragments of the comet, and there's 25 or 26 of them in total, will be occurring at different times, and Jupiter will be rotating underneath that string of comets, and so the impacts will be at different points in the atmosphere. And so it might be a whole string of Great Red Spots formed, and again it's a matter of waiting and seeing. My personal guess is that that won't actually happen, but I would love to be proved wrong.
Okay. Now, during July, Jupiter will be quite high in our winter sky. Does this mean that Australia will be well placed to see these impacts?
Yes, actually, from nowhere on the surface of the Earth can you see the impact region, because they're all going to be occurring on the far side of Jupiter. So out of, Jupiter is between us and the impacts, and so we won't be able to see them as they occur directly from the Earth or from the Hubble Space Telescope. However, Jupiter does spin on its axis, and the length of its day is actually about 9 hours and 50 minutes, so a little bit less than 10 hours. And because we do know exactly where these impacts are going to occur, we have been able to predict how long it will be until that region rotates around so as to be visible from the Earth. And the answer is only about 30 to 45 minutes later will we be able to see the impact region. And if the suggestions as to what might occur are correct, then it might well be pretty spectacular. Huge, if you like, a mushroom cloud of material from the explosions rising way up above the height of the clouds of Jupiter, which is all we can see with any telescope. We cannot see any surface for Jupiter. Indeed, we've got good reason to believe that no surface as such actually exists. So, from that point of view, actually observing Jupiter and the aftermath of the explosions, Australia is indeed ideally placed for a number of reasons. As you've said, Jupiter will be high in the evening sky, which means you don't need to get up at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning to see it. You can see it before you go to bed. Secondly, these impacts are going to be occurring third week of July, which is soon after midwinter for us, and so we've got very long nights. You've got 12, 13 hours even of observing time, whereas the people in the northern hemisphere only have 5 or 6 hour nights at that time of year. So that's a second reason. The third reason is that indeed Jupiter is fairly deep in the southern sky, which means that it's closer to being overhead for us. So there's a whole series of reasons why Australia is going to be a great place to actually observe Jupiter from, and I can't think of anywhere which is actually better.
So what are you going to be doing?
Well, actually, my interest is in asteroids and comets as opposed to Jupiter, and I like to think about what might be the outcome of such impacts upon Earth and so on. Not so much like to think about it as I dread to think about it, and I'd like to warn people that such things can happen. This string of comets is going to hit Jupiter, but it could happen to the Earth, and it's something we should be wary of, because sure enough, if this string of comets was going to hit the Earth, then we'd all be doomed. There's no doubt about that. Now, that isn't equally likely to happen to the Earth as for Jupiter. Jupiter is hit about 1,000 times more frequently because it is a bigger planet than the Earth, but nevertheless, it is something we should be aware of. My particular role, or the role of my team, I guess I should say, at the Anglo-Australian Observatory has been that we've been tracking this string of comets ever since it was first discovered, because we have the only Southern Hemisphere program of regular, detailed astrometry of asteroids and comets on planet-crossing orbits. And the reason we've been needing to follow this the comet to measure the positions of the objects very accurately is that enables us to predict with the utmost accuracy when the impacts are actually going to occur. Now, that wouldn't be important if we were always going to have to wait 30 or 45 minutes to see the aftermath, but in fact there are two spacecraft which can see the far side of Jupiter. One of them is Voyager 2, which was launched back in 1977, and it's currently 52 astronomical units away from the Sun, and it will be looking back inwards from the outer solar system, and it can see the far side of Jupiter, and so it can see these impacts occurring, although the resolution of its camera from such a great distance is minimal, so it won't be able to do anything rather than say, well, look, you know, the far side of Jupiter suddenly got brighter by a factor of 100 or 1,000 or even more. Perhaps we're going to have to wait and see. The other spacecraft is Galileo, which is on its way to Jupiter but won't get there until December 1995. But by very good fortune, it is in a position this year where it can see the region where the impacts are going to occur, as it were, peeking around the edge of Jupiter. And it will send us back, we hope, our very best images of the actual impacts, the actual explosions occurring. However, as many of your listeners will know, Galileo has a malfunctioning communications antenna, which means that it's not possible to send back very many images, or at least not send them back very quickly. And because of that, it is critical that NASA knows with as great accuracy as possible just when those impacts are going to occur. And that's why we've been observing the comet, the chain of comets, for the last year and a half almost, in order to let those people know exactly, as far as we can calculate it, when the impacts will occur. In fact, we need to know within a matter of seconds. And we've done a very good job in that, and we're pretty confident now that the TV pictures you'll see will be as good as could possibly. We're pretty confident now that those TV pictures, which hopefully you'll be seeing on the news in just a few days' time after each of the impacts occur, will be the best we could have possibly done. That is, we have got the right information through, and we have got back the best possible set of images from Galileo.
So we're going to get hordes and hordes of astronomers coming in from overseas?
Oh, there's certainly a lot of astronomers coming down to Australia. The United States has various observatories set up in Chile, so they do have a southern hemisphere site, and equally well there are observatories in South Africa, for example. However, certainly both Australia and New Zealand will be playing host to several teams of astronomers coming down to use various telescopes. And obviously it's going to be a very exciting time, and everybody's getting pretty het up about the whole thing and looking forward to seeing what actually happens.
So I should say telescope booking booking time on the telescope is quite a premium at this stage.
Well, telescope time is always at a premium. There's always a competition for time, which is based upon science and so on. I'd say that at the Anglo-Australian Observatory, although I'm not actually involved with it, I've got to say, we do have a particular instrument which goes on the Anglo-Australian telescope, which is called IRIS. It's an infrared imaging device, which is probably the best worldwide instrument for looking at this sort of event, and sure enough, it will be on the Anglo-Australian telescope looking at Jupiter for the whole of that 7 or 8 days. And so the best scientific data, I would think, would quite likely be coming from the Anglo-Australian Observatory, which, of course, has a very big telescope. That's a 3.9-meter telescope, the Anglo-Australian telescope. And with that, coupled with that very fine infrared instrument, it will be collecting data which probably cannot be paralleled anywhere else.
Well, I really wish you well in your observations, and we look forward to seeing it on television. And I encourage every amateur astronomer to go out and try and do their own observing as well. Thanks for joining us tonight on the Space Show, Duncan.
Thank you very much, Andrew.